Welcome to the Tribe of Testimonies. Here you will find conversations with faithful Native American members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, sharing their stories and their love of the Savior. My name's Andrea Hales. I'm Navajo, and I'm glad that you've decided to come and join us today. My guest today is Brother Ken Shields. He is he's a friend of Sister Pat Ironcloud that I recently interviewed, and so she's the one that connected us. I feel like I learned so much about the Dakota and the ways there, and some of it is stuff I'm familiar with, and some of it I just was like, oh man, that makes so much sense, and that feels so good. And yeah, at the end of the conversation, I say, you just filled my cup for the day, and I felt like that. So I hope that you feel like that too as you listen, and I hope you enjoy this. Here's Brother Shields. I'm on the phone today with Brother Ken Shields. We're glad to be together. So, Brother Shields, would you introduce yourself in your tribal way as much as possible? If it's in your language, great. If it's not, that's fine. Not everybody speaks our language, and some languages are dead.
I said, my name is, he comes first, because I was the oldest in my family, and Waxincha Wakapai is, I live by Pauper River in Pauper, Montana, and I come from the bad-tempered bear band of the Dakota, Ihonktawa. Ihonktawa means people at the end, and I'm a full-blood Sioux. They say Sioux, but we're not Sioux, we're Dakota. Sioux comes from a French word and ship word meaning Nadewe Sioux. That's means little snakes and enemy, and we're not little snakes. So they called us Sioux, but we're not. We're Dakota. We need to understand that. And we're not Indian or Native American. I'm Dakota. The Apache, Navajos are Dene. They're not Indians or Native Americans. The people that came to here, they are Native Americans that were born here. But we've always been here. And our ways have been our way before Christ was here. And we know that. Our heritage goes back thousands of years that predates the Columbus era. And from the time of Columbus, we've been silenced in our ways, language, culture, life ways, rites of passage, all those have been taken away. And we've been conditioned to learn the European ways. And I'll explain that to you. And how the church, from the Book of Mormon, I found out all these things are in here, how they work for me. We had what you call freedom, and we had a Declaration of Independence, and we had a Constitution. It was called the Seven Council Fires, Okichita Shakowi, it was called Seven Council Fires. And we had that. And the laws that we had predates the Constitution. They got those ideas from the American Indian. You see, the Europeans, they were a sovereign country. Sovereignty means under a crown or under a king or queen. Well, we had freedom here. Well, the Europeans came for the doctrine of discovery. They said that they came in the name of the king and queen, and we welcomed them. And we're still like that today. We still have giveaways. We call it hunkapi, making of families and relatives. We have that nowadays. And so That's how we did to the colonials. Well, after they gained power, they took away our freedom and gave us their sovereignty. Now we're a sovereign nation. We're under the government. That's how that is. And we're invisible people. I'll give you a good example, and it'll all lead up to the gospel. And a lot of people are frustrated because of the laws that's still going on. You look at any, you watch any videos of this land about the people. Now they call us indigenous people. So I'll use those words so you understand. Indigenous, American Indian, Native American, and I'll use those so that you'll connect with it. And each time, even in our Capitol building or wherever, when they talk about the people of the United States, it's a Hispanic, Asian, and they would Caucasian. And the black people, and we were the people were we got other underneath there. You go to Senates or anything like that, the blaming that people, their voice is not heard. We're invisible there. We are a mysterious people. We're studied like we're in a fish tank. That we're noble people, they say, that they look at us with wonderment and that they try to mimic our ways. Hollywood is good for them. We're made fun of, but we're not like that. You come here, you'll see how we are.
Would you please share something that you love about your heritage? It can be pretty much anything, a story, a celebration, a way of life, a ceremony. What do you love about your heritage as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ?
See, we believed in Christ way before the Europeans came here. Our teepee poles, we put up teepees, we put three up, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We put the door always facing towards the east. And it's in a circle, just like the tribes of Israel. The tribes of Israel, like Lehi, when they all traveled in a line. And then when they camped in a circle. And that they would it end up like this, half circle, this open part in the middle of here, right here, was facing towards the east, and all the camps were here. Do we do that today? I'm what do you call Ihantowa? People at the end. See this, I was right here. So when we travel like this. Ihantowa was in the front. And Sisseton, Wahpeton, all those were in the middle. And we were at the end. We guarded the back as we traveled like that. So when we camped, they went in a circle like this. And we were at the, there's the two doors. See, Ihantowa and the Ahuntsic were right across from each other, and the rest of them are around. In the middle is where we started the campfire, where everybody came. We're all relatives, Hunkas. We call it Teospaye, the sacred village. Oyate, the people. That's how we addressed each other. That's what I love about this gospel, and it fits with the Latter-day Saints when they were persecuted. Chased from place to place, exterminated, and they were murdered. They had no rights. Even the President of the United States, Joseph Smith, went there. They were against the church. That's the same way with us, the same way. Now, the old people, their way is that the sun, it always starts in the east. And the more power the sun is when it's above. In the center, as the apex of the sun, it goes from here, starts in the east, goes all the way up, and the apex is in the middle, where it's got the most sun, where everything is all equal. Then it goes down in the east. Well, the gospel started in the east. The Saints will push towards the middle part of the country where Salt Lake is. All the Lamanites that are members are in that belt, in the middle. The sun is directly over us. And that's the fullness of the gospel. That's what it means to me. Then it settles in the west. There's a story where that old man who was outside, we had a big storm last night. I know he had storms too. These all connect with us, the story of these. So we celebrate that. The things of nature, God's creations. Now, Elder Uthgaard said, God, Heavenly Father created all these things for our enjoyment. That's true. That's why we respect it. We don't destroy anything indiscriminately, take things, you know, just for the heads and the horns and the hide. No, we use all of it. And when we, like I used to hunt a long time ago, my dad told me the same thing too. You pray before you hunt. And we just take one deer. So that's what we did. And we go over there, we tell that deer we're sorry that you're going to feed our family. And we use all of it. And we share it with others. That's how we do that. And the story goes is that the old timer, he said, "Hey, would you teach had say, over there, coming. Said, to hear him. To hear horses. Well, just like this. Whole bunch of dust all over. To hear those swords jangling and those spurs and those horses. You could hear them coming. You hear bugles there, that way. Towards the east, they're coming," he said. "They're going to come." And sure enough, they're talking about the government and the cavalry. They came. That's what they did to us. They massacred us, wounded me. There's all kinds of places where they did that. Sand Creek. There's all kinds of places. I studied history, and I read all the documents from the National Archive that I could get. I studied that, and I read the Book of Mormon, I don't know, hundreds of times. I know the Book of Mormon. So when I read the Book of Mormon, how that began, it was 1965. You see, when I was went to school, I used to come back, 6 years old or so, and I walk home. There were no buses or nothing. You had to walk. Walk about a mile and a half. It was wintertime. I remember seeing all these churches. Baptist Church, Catholic Church, Nazarene, Lutheran, two Presbyterian churches, Assembly of God. And I went to all of them. And I never felt nothing. Either church wasn't here then, the branch or anything. But I saw the missionaries one day, about 6 years old, who lived just right south of here, a little two-room house. And I was playing outside, I was waiting for my friend to come up, but he didn't come out. He lived in front of us, we lived in an old log house. And so, that was 1963. So, I went over to his house, and there was a padlock and a chain. Knocking on it, nobody there. I seen that chain on it. Before that, I was outside, and I saw this green 62 Chevy. I always remember it was a green one. There was a new car back then. And these two men got off. One was redhead, the one was a dark hair. They were carrying like a briefcase or a bag or something. They were dressed in suits, and they parked beside the house, and they went in there. So I went, I said, "Mom, who are those white men over there?" She looked at, "Oh, those are Mormons." She said, "Rosie's a Mormon." Her name was Rosie Lester. So she was a LDS. The only one that was LDS in our area right there. I never heard of it. So anyway, as I was said later, I went around the house there when no one was home, and there was an old roadway bed laying there. You know, there was a dig in a cellar, but they never finished it because they get a lot of storms around here, a lot of tornadoes and things. Just a big hole there. I guess they were going to put that bed down there when they finished it, but they never finished it. It was about like 5 feet deep or something. There, that old rollaway bed there was just the frame. So I sat down on there. It was kind of windy. And I was looking towards the west. That's when I wondered who I could play with. And right down below me, on the left side, I looked at a book down there. There's a wind that's blowing its pages. I reached underneath and I picked it up and I looked at it. There's a turquoise book. And there was a statue of a man, a gold statue, blowing a horn, had his head up like, what is this? So I started looking at it, looking at those pictures. And I started really interested in it. You look at it hard. First one I saw was the people in the ship. They were going someplace. They're all standing on the deck, and you could see that land way over there. Who are these? Right by like in biblical times. And I was trying to read the words, but you know, my reading skills weren't very sharp then, being about 6 years old, and you know, the words thee and thou and all of that. I didn't understand. So I used to read the Bible too, but I couldn't understand a lot of those words in the old Hebrew way of talking. Then I turned another page. And then I saw this man standing there. Had a sword. And he was kneeled down like that. And he was looking. There was some men coming. And he was standing. There were sheep around him. He was standing there like that. The real sharp. So, what a man looks brave. I said, is he going to fight all those guys? I was thinking, really looking at that. And I flipped another page. I was leaping through all of them like that. And I see this old man who's standing there. When I was on that ship, I said, this is the same man. I said, he was holding a big round ball. You know, what is that? A teapot or what is that? It's all brass. He's holding it up like that. What that is? We're looking at it. And then I turned the other page, and there was this man sitting on top of this big high wall, like at a castle or something. Had his arms out, like this, had a robot. All these soldiers, I was really looking at them, you know, and they were shooting arrows at him, some shooting down this way. He was standing around. What I noticed about him, just a glow. Like behind me, see that light? It was kind of like that around him. I wonder if they're gonna shoot him or what. And I was trying to find the answer, but you know, I couldn't read very well. I kept looking at that. So I turned the other page, and there's this man kneeling down, big muscly guy, had a sword there, a tree, and these big gold things were there. I said, did he dig that treasure up or what? I was thinking. Looking at it. So anyway, but then I put those I put a, that book. I went back to her house. We had an old car outside, a 59 Plymouth. They had no wheels and the motor was not. Her dad left it outside. We used to play and all that. I put underneath this. I got it back. I used to put it in the front seat underneath there, and I left it there. And from time to time, I get back in there and I take it out and I start looking at it. With all those pages. Everybody, a year and a half later, that was outside, chopping wood in wintertime, cold. Yeah, mom said, peek outside, look, there's two white boys talk to dad. So we peeked out, there's two guys standing there. They have tacos on, suits and ties. Their dad brought them in. They came in. And we had just a two-room house. We opened the door, the kitchen. Tape stove. We had no running water. We had the whole water in the door right here at our sleeping room. You know, the bed on each side like that. And I'm going to lift the weather dad over there. And we had a stove in the corner. That was it. It was a small house. They came in and just had a few chairs. Dad kind of nailed some boards up, got a plywood on top of, you know, one so we could sit on. So they sat by the door. We sat along the wall there. And one elder kept looking at me. I said, and then he closed the story. He introduced himself, Elder Broadbent and Elder Tamar. They were from the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. And I was listening. I thought they said they were Mormons. I didn't hear that. So really interesting, you know? Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. And then they said the church. I'm paraphrasing it by my memory, that he said there was this young boy, they're kind of older. You, I told him, they're about 10, a little older than you. That he went, he prayed, You're told to go ask God. So he went out to the trees and prayed. That the miraculous thing happened. That he asked. So he said that the two men came in big bright light. That one was God, and the other one was his son, Jesus Christ. He was really looking at him. First thing I was going to ask him, what did he look like? You know, that's what I was going to ask them. I believed it right away. And there was hell. And then he said, later, the angel came and in his bedroom, and his feet didn't touch the floor. And I believe that too. I believe that. They had pictures. They were showing, I was really interested. And he passed out, just said, looking at him, Joseph Smith. Then he said, the record. That it's about you people. It's your history. And they brought the book a moment up. I said, I got one. Where is that? Around the car, and I brought it back. Yeah, that's the one. So that's what this is. I said, yeah. Oh, then I start to understand. Well, anyway, they left and they were transferred, and it was 1967. More missionaries came, Elder Manu, Samoa Manu from Samoa, Elder Alcanso from Hawaii, they came. I had no contact ever since then, a year and a half or so. But I always thought about that. Anyway, they come to the house, they start teaching us better advice to church. So the right where we lived at, just about 50 yards east of us, it was all prairie, nothing but sagebrush. And because we used to play baseball and stuff out there. Anyway, they showed us these blueprints so we could build a church right over here, just right next to where we lived. And our chapel is there now. Our chapel. So we have a gymnasium and everything. Oh, I really want to see that. Right over here? Yeah, right there. And one day we saw contractors go out there marking it off and everything. They built a big foundation and they start building it. It took about a year and they got David O. McKay. They called David O. McKay Chapel. Because he's the one that had those built. So, and by the way, one of the Lamanite branches opened in the state of Montana, Poplar Point, only two. In the Glendive, Montana state. The only two. The none others in Montana. Well, anyway, so we invite the church. We start going. And then they went to Sunday school. And I seen their pictures on the wall. And they explained to us who those were. Sister Pat Iron Club was there. And there were people that was on that ship. That was Lehi, and Moroni, Samuel, Laman, Samuel, Sarai. And we're coming from the old land to here. I said, oh, now I see. And then the other one was the man was standing. That was Ammon. He's protecting the Lamanites. King Lamoni's flocks. That's what that was. And then the other one, that man standing on top, that was my great great ancestor. Yeah. Prophecy to people that. That Christ is going to come, but they didn't believe him. Just like us, the Indian people, we try to tell them something, ignore it. You know, nothing. We always listen to you. Well, I just speak to him. I felt that. But he delivered his message anyway. He went up on that wall to try to kill him. The same way happened to the other saints, to Joseph Smith. All of them, they treated him the same way. Well, he delivers a message anyway, sure enough, Christ came. And the man that was burying that was, I thought it was digging, that dug up a treasure, that was Moroni. Yeah, they're burying the plates. And I found that what I was holding in my hand were those plates. I really treasure the Book of Mormon. If I go someplace, more than anything, I'll take the Book of Mormon as first thing that I'll pack up. That's the first thing. I'll take it to keep it in the car, keep a copy in the car. Whatever I do, I always quote from the Book of Mormon or the prophet. Had a lot to do with the way we live, because we're praying people. We pray all the time. Christ taught us how to pray. Taught us how to pray. That's what it was. So we're on a tangent for ways like this. And the gospel is here. We just go over and connect. Now that comes by baptism. We have temples too, sacred areas. I know there's some. And they're in a circle too. I was looking at that when I took them at temple lessons. I said, that looks just like the rocks and everything that are ancient that are here. I said, the same thing. The laver, the coals where they burn sacrifices, the incense burning. They did that too. They used sweetgrass. It's so, it only. But men can go in there. That's the same way it was, the high priest going in there. And only one man could go to the front where the big rock is. And that's where it was, like Abraham and all. They went to the altar, the high priest. So it all fits together. And when I say the robes of the high priest, you know, the robes, the sash hanging down like this. In this, the men, when they dance, to the beaded sack in the front hanging down. And the high priest, they wear the bells around the bottom of their cloak. Their whole hand stitched the cloak. That's what we do too. And the bell and the pomegranate, bell, pomegranate. We got bells like this. Kind of shape like this, then a round one. And a triangular shape and then a round one. We wear those around our ankles when we dance with fringes on them. And our favorite colors are red, white, and blue. Me, my favorite color is turquoise and any blue, and that's a sacred color too, the priest wore. And Christ wore the crown on his head. We wear called wapeshas. They're made of porcupine quills. The hair, you put it on, certain light, they glow like, just like, look like a halo. We wear those. And right here we got hanging down, like just like the old priest a long time ago. They always reach with our right hand. We eat with our right hand. We don't use our left hand. We give some to somebody, we give it to with our right hand. We don't give it with our left hand. And we never give it with anger or malice or that we have to. No, that the devil said that's bad. You think that way? If you think, oh, I don't have to give it, I'll do it because you asked me. You know, yeah, I don't know if he'd say that because but it'll still be yours if you think that way. It just comes from here. Shante, you have a good heart. You give it that way. That's why you do that. See, Christ had no place to go either. He had no property, he had no home, just the clothes he had on. Even remember, he had no place to lay his head, he invited him to his home. So he stayed there. That's just like the way the latter saints are. They had no place to go. Indians, same way. We've been running for our lives for over 400 years since the government got here, the same as the church. That's why I knew I had a testimony right then. Our celebrations all the time, we always begin with prayer. And when Lehi was going, and all the tribes of Israel, even when Moses was going, he had a staff. He walked in the front. Then he had that staff. The Indians have a staff. You look at it like a crook, like an eagle, but it leads the way. You go to these Indian powwows, you see the look it up Indian powwows of the Grazing Nations. You see they have the eagle staffs in the front and then the American flag. You see, we honor the way of God rather than the American flag. We all say they desecrate the American flag. We honor that flag. That's where we put them out there, put the American flag. Well, only country, only people in the whole world that can do that. You take the American flag to other countries. The American flag has to be in the front. It has to be higher than everything else. Here, our eagle staff, because it's shaped like a crook. Jesus the crook, Moses the crook. That was used to bring the sheep in, you know, and they're dropped down into the cable to reach down, they grab it and they pull it up. And that's how we believe in that. So it all connects. The Old Testament, it all connects with everything in there. Our celebrations, we feed the visitors first. We had them come, we had them stand up, we went right here, what are your names? When I was on the committee, Powell committee, I see the missionaries, I have them come up and I have them introduce themselves. I tell them these are elders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, hundreds of people there. Come on up, elders, come on, introduce yourself. So they do that, and they have them all prepared. That's what I do missionaries. Those missionaries, they're my sons. They're my sons. I was glad to see them. They have a hard time too, because they come a long way from home. I bet they were bullied in school and things like that. And they're devoting their lives. And their life isn't in their hands, in Christ's hands. That's how I see it. I always try. Sometimes I'll buy some groceries, I'll take it over to them, milk and eggs, cereal, I'll take it over to them, juice and stuff like that. Comes to the church because it's like when I was baptized, took me to the water. I was the first one baptized, my whole family, and I'm still the only one that really had testimony of my parents, my aunts and uncles. They make fun of me. Both my parents are gone now, but a lot of my uncles were also make fun of me that they don't like the church, but I won't give up on it. And what was I going to say? Or I'm reading right from here. The ceremonies of what we do, we use prayer, and we're always thankful for everything in the morning. You face to Easter, you're praying. My grandpa used to pray in Indian, or he just feel it. I didn't know what he was saying, but I could feel it. The missionaries, like I said, when they brought me out of the water, I felt it. And when they put their hands on my head to receive the Holy Ghost and pronounce my name and said, receive the Holy Ghost. Right from the top of my head, I could feel something all the way through here. Like my hair was standing up. All the way through me, it would hit my heart like my heart was going to leap out. It was just beating like this. It went all the way down me. When it got down to my toes, I was just shaking like this. Legs are just shaking like that, my whole body, and I didn't understand why. And I told myself, this church is true. And I started crying, and I don't know why, but I felt it. The Holy Ghost has weight, it has substance. It does. People don't know that. That's what makes the Latter-day Saints Latter-day Saints, and we're able to do great things. And people don't understand why. If somebody doesn't, that's not a member of the church, even the Most High, a minister or a priest in any other church that does something, one Latter-day Saint can go there and do something and far exceed what that priest or preacher is saying. The virtue of the priest, it far exceeds the worldly intellect, and it always will. It always will. I believe in that. The way of life here comes from Christ. All of us are his children. We need to all understand that. No one is above the other. But yeah, I still see that though. Even though I was a place apart, though some of the church used to treat me bad. And I knew that like I was nothing. I felt nothing. I go, that's what I remembered, that I joined a church because it's Jesus' church. So I went through a lot of hardship like that, but I hung in there. My foster mom in Seattle, Washington, I wanted to go right away, and I heard about it. And I was a member just a little over a month. I went to a placement program in Seattle, Washington. Dr. Ralph Cutler and his wife, Carol, Seattle, Washington. Beautiful home. It was a shock. Like, I was more amazed than anything else. A beautiful home. They even had my own room. Two-story house. Fruit trees. Flowers. We didn't have that. Just a two-room house. We all sleep in one room. Four of us on a bed. Me and my brother. Two blankets. Sometimes mom was so old, two coats together. And we would sleep like that. And breakfast, the mom curry have waffles, all kind of eggs, you know, Captain Crunch cereal, milk, juice. But all we had sometimes was just oatmeal and sometimes cornmeal. We had no milk and hard bread. That was it. We hardly had any fruit. Dad would buy a can of peaches sometimes, and the way it'd really be good because we look forward to a can of peaches. That was a real treat for us. And we all had shoes that were worn out. And I really treasure shoes because it shows a person where they went. And I'm going to show you my shoes. I still wear them. They're big holes. I still wear them because they're comfortable on the bottom. They still got treads off. I'm going to sew them together and wear them. I bought those on sale at Brian's for $5. I used to wear them because they're nice and soft. I'll put them on. They're easy to put on, too. I really treasure shoes, and I treasure my feet. I really take care of my feet because they take me all over the place. I can't neglect your feet. Because when you do that, you're showing God honor Christ because he took care of his. You can tell by a man by his feet and his shoes. You can tell, and the way he looks at you, you see in his eyes, you can feel it in his hand. When you hug someone, do they stand bent over like that towards you, or did they really hug you close? Did they feel it? Did they put their head over your lips? You can feel their heart and their heart connect. Some of them don't do that. They just be able to hug. I tell them. We're sensitive people. We know all that. And we can pick up if a person is telling us the truth. Because we've been lied to so many centuries. You can pick up on it right away. They're sincere or not. So you can't lie to a Lamanite that they know. They're very sensitive. There's one thing. You tell them you're going to do something, do it. You don't, you know, they won't come back after you again. Joseph Smith sent the missionaries to Lamanite. And the Shoshone in Wyoming were the first ones to be baptized. Chief Washakie, he was baptized first, and then his whole tribe was baptized. I got friends of Shoshones down there. Chippewas, Weesaws, Robinsons, I know a lot of them down there. I'm friends with a lot of tribes, Arapahoes, Cheyennes, Apaches, Navajos, Tlingit Indians of Alaska, Athabascans, Eskimos. I know all kinds of Indian people, Seminoles from Florida, Mackay Indians, Mohawks. I've been all over the United States. I know a lot of people. And I'll share this one with you. I went down, to Helena. Go to the education conference, Red Line, called. Big conference room, about 1,000 people there. And very good. I had a banquet. Yeah. This lady, she was emceeing, said, we're going to have everyone sit down, and you know, all the plates were all sitting there, they're all ready. So, whenever you want to, if you need to sit down, you can begin eating. I raised my hand and it said, yes. I said, Come on up. So I went up and I said, we need to say a prayer. Can we say a prayer? Sure. She said, her face got red. So she said, what's your name? So I told her, Popper, the teacher up there. He's going to say a prayer for us. It all went quiet. You could see there was ones that really didn't believe in prayer. You could just see them, you know, declaring. I got up there and I introduced myself as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I start saying a prayer, little by little. You could hear him standing up. Bless the food. And I said, well, now I won't then. He said, now eat now. And I sat down. I was sitting here. This man came over. You're LDS, aren't you? I said, yeah, that's an LDS prayer. He said, he took my hand. And there another time I was called to the hospital. That's how the priesthood works. I was called to the hospital. That was three times. The first one was, there was a young boy there. They found him laying on the street. And he had a high blood pressure. And his heart wasn't good. And the doctor said, I barely got his heart up like that. His heart just kind of flutter and go down. And I looked at my heart monitor, was bouncing like it's slow. I said, I'm going to give him a blessing. It's okay, because he could do that. They let me do that, you know. So I gave him a blessing because I knew him. A little while later, he died. And anyway, the surgeon that came from Billings, he was on a plane. And I was walking by him, he took his mask and I said, you're LDS, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. And my wife's sister, we were called to Havre, Montana. Her daughter called my wife and said, you need to get down here. Your sister's not going to make it. She's really sick. Got cancer. So we dropped everything and got in the car and went over to Havre. It's 3 hours drive from me. Not that we went to the hospital and she was there. She had been monitored on and oxygen. You can see that heart thing bouncing. You're barely breathing. You can hear that respirator. And just as I was going in, there was a priest, Catholic priest, you believe me. He said, I gave her the last rites. He said, going into that doctor, if I talk to you, he told Judy, yeah, see, you're going to last the night. Her lungs are filled with fluid, not breathing right. And not enough blood going to her brain. Could be a stroke. So we're just monitoring her. That's where I know my family. So I was sitting there, Judy's crying. So they called them missionaries there at San Haver, and they came over to the elders. I never met them before. They used the oil, consecrated oil, if they're blessing it. Not more we can do, so we left and went home. I went to Judy's niece's house. Her brother was there too. And we stayed there at night. A person, the phone rang here, that said, they want us up there right away to the hospital. So we went up there. We got in, she was sitting up. That doctor here, I can't understand it. That priest was there too. He said, God does do miracles, he said. I seen that happen. My grandma was here too. Her name was Eunice Birthmark. She was wishing Mary Clarence Birthmark. Her husband used to call me Crazy Horse. I got all kinds of Indian names like that. Anyway, something just made me go to the hospital. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just go to the hospital and walk around, go visit people. I came around the corner and there's a whole bunch of people standing in the hallway there. That door was open. So I peeked in. There's my grandma laying in there. Diane was crying. It's her daughter. Here's my aunt. Said she's not going to last tonight. She's barely breathing, you know, labor breathing, really struggling. Her chest is barely going like that. And those guys that were singing and using Indian medicine and all that. And the Presbyterian minister, Enright Bighorn, he was there, he prayed and he left. And I couldn't get hold of the missionary, so I did it myself. And just consecrated oil, give her a blessing. And I went home and I went to work, and then after work, I drove right with her uncle to check on Grandma. I walked in there, and here she was sitting up in her bed. She was eating, just glowing, just happy, you know. This is about 10 years after that. She was about 90 something when she died. I've seen that. I've seen that happen, like the priesthood. And there was this one young girl that she was possessed or something. And her grandma had her come over there, the missionaries, she was just screaming at us and everything. And we prayed first and she calmed down. Then we gave her a blessing. She just shook all and she just went calm, went going like that. After that, her blessing, she got up, she was just smiling. Is that peace? And her grandma said, you know, that Reverend Garfield. And Satan left. The elders did that. I see a lot of that, a lot of miracles that has been done by the priest. I believe in a priest because you could feel it in your hand. You could feel it. All that. And I always tell the missionaries that power you have in your hand, you be careful with it. You honor that. Be careful what you think about too, especially you got the priesthood. You be careful what you think about. Don't ask for something that you know yourself that you can't do. Let him take the helm. Let it be his will, not yours. You can't hold it. Don't do things in anger. The spirit will depart from you. You'll real fast. And I always pray that my heart doesn't shrink, most of all. Sometimes it gets real terrifying. But especially here, I can feel the darkness here. There's Papa right here. Where I live outside the town. Our church is right there, right below that water tower. There, if you can see it, that's kind of too far away. But anyway, I can feel the darkness here. Feel strong. I can suffocate sometimes. And we got over 450 members in our church, but every Sunday, if we're lucky, maybe 40 will show up. We'll point go over 500, and they're about the same, about 40 show up. So the stake president said that if we get these two branches really organized and make them strong, they'd have their own ward. We'd have to start a new state or a new district or something. He said, that'll be over 1,000. Many years ago, I wrote this story and I found the document about, because I was the archives director, and I even told the Elder Pinnock from General Authority, Elder Melvin J. Ballard came through here in 1904. And he first built the railroad to come from the east, and he went through here policy those just little communities, block houses and stuff. And he was going through Fraser, 40 miles east of me here, a place called Chicken Hill, Cinnaboyne. And he was going by a locomotive. And he looked at the south, and oh, what is an encampment there? He got to Roscoe, he got off there. He was going someplace, I don't know, Shelby or something, wherever he was going. But he got off here in Glasgow, and he hired a wagon. And he found an interpreter that could speak the Assiniboine language. And that's about like 30 miles to Fraser. So the wagon goes over there. And when he got there, all the people were looking at him. He got off. And I said, "On a hog day, supper, like had you Wanawani, look, there he is, the man with the black coat, he's coming, he said. He came over here. Oduwamai, you got her a book? How'd they know this man? His name was, and I was out in Utah too to ask about him, but I can't remember his name now. He's from the Assiniboine. Oh, I can't remember his name now. Anyway, he invites him over there, and he shows her the Book of Mormon. They knew that this man was going to come. They saw him in the prayer, and a man was going to come and bring them their record, and that was him, Melville J. Ballard. And Melville J. Ballard stayed there, and he built a little settlement there. So remnants are still there, and he built a chapel. All people come. He baptized a whole bunch of them in a river down there, the Three River. This man, he brought his little boy, his grandson. He said, "There, where Joshua will come." He said, "You're a holy man, I have to tell. I want you to pray for him." He said, "Elder Ballard asked you what's wrong." "Here," he said, "dim, no more light." He told me he's blind. So Elder Ballard gave him a priest of blessing. He took the little boy home. Next day, that little boy came back over to see Elder Ballard. He could see. And that name exists today. His grandpa gave him, his name is Looking now. Looking. He can see now. That name's still here. I'm related to them. That's how they got their name. Looking. He can see now. Elder Ballard did that. There's a after that, the little boy cut hay, him and his grandpa, and Elder Ballard bought livestock and things, and so he cut hay every year for his cattle and stuff, for their livestock. Elder Ballard went down to Helena, Montana. The dream he had before that was at Chicken Hill. He was praying, and he said he woke up and he saw these doors. And he went in there, said he was feeling bad, really heavy. And there's other men there, and they all stepped aside. There was one up there, started my head down. He told me to come, so I went and I looked at his feet, and there's wounds in his feet. There's bleeding. And he called me, and I looked at him. He grabbed me. That to this day, I believe that there's going to be a temple built on this land here at Chicken Hill. He said, "I saw Christ back to when he went to Helena." I've been that art studio too. And he was going by there, him and another elder going to meeting someplace this morning. There was nobody on the street and had this big plate glass window. And the other elder said, "Oh, they got paintings of the Christ." Elder Bear looked over there and took a few steps forward. He backed up, he out there looking at him. "Nope, pretty close, but it's not him." See, we all have the potential to see Christ. We all do. People don't believe that. When the missionary told me about Joseph Smith and he's seen Christ and his father, I heard my uncles and them. Thank God, no one could see God. And I was standing right there, just a little boy, and I was thinking, why not? But I wanted to know what he looked like. I believed it. That was my testimony. Way back then, but I didn't know what that testimony was. Mom Cutler, she always told me, she said, "Don't call me Ken Boy." She said, well, anyway, when I was a place program, my foster brothers, and they got tired of me and the neighborhood boys, they kind of, shunned me. And just like, how they do, how young boys do, when they're light, get tired of someone, they kind of ostracize. Well, that's what I felt like. Yeah, I just went in my room and I closed the door and I sat on the bed like this. I was crying. Somebody had tapped on the door. And it was Mom Cutler. You cannot sit beside me here. I said, what's wrong? And I was crying. I said, I'll go home. You don't want me here. I'm not worried. And she grabbed me. She held me close like this. Say, Ken, I love you, and I'll always love you. He said, you know, that's the first time someone ever told me that. First time. Even my parents never said that to me. But she did. Oh, like a floodgate. It came out of me. I was thinking that all those years, I kept those tears and no one knew. Yeah, but I have a huge heart. It's full of love. I got more than I can give away. Even animals, especially children, people, I don't care who they are. God creations, all of them. That's what I have. And you call it Chante Wash Day Talk. You got a good heart, big heart, I'll say. The times that going up like this, I think about them. I never forget where I came from. And you know something? This is true. I am nothing. I am nothing. I say my prayer every day to Christ. I am nothing. I'll be the first one to admit that. I am nothing. I know better than anybody. No better. I don't believe in status like that. I said they wanted to do a painting about me. I said, I don't want it. I don't want it like that. I don't want it. That doesn't belong to me. I wouldn't feel right. I'm not self-centered. That's why I really try to watch out for being self-centered or prideful. In our ways, we believe that the home is the mother. The teepee, the lodge, everything in it was the mother, the wife. Even the lodge was hers. The teepee poles represent her ribs. You look at teepee, look like a woman reaching out like that with a big long skirt on. You go inside, there's only one way to go inside and come out. That's the birth canal, the door. There's no back door, just the front door. When you go in, you go to the left, all around. That's like the blood in the woman's body. And where the poles are tied at the top that comes down the middle into the lodge, there's a fire. You make a fire, that cord, that rope that's close there, that's her umbilical cord. And a fire in the middle that keeps everybody warm, that's her heart. And whenever, and everything in her is hers. The man is outside. His horse, his weapons, he leaves outside. If he's a wife beater or lazy, all she had to do was just shut that door. He can't come in. And everybody sees that. That's the shame of this man. And no one will talk to him. They'll just ignore him. But I see that sometimes you go to, I've seen it going to the invited over there, get vendors, foster wives around, watching football, have all their friends are moving furniture around and putting their feet up over there, bossing around, bringing some chips, bringing something to drink. No, you don't do that. It's her house. That's hers. Everything your mom or your wife cook, you eat it. That is tough. Mom cook, you guys eat. We never complain, no matter what it is. We'll always eat it. And we can eat all up too. Don't complain. I don't want this. I don't want that. I want Chinese food. I want Spanish food. I don't like it. We're not supposed to be that way. Not supposed to be that way. That's the way of life here. And we never walk in front of our mother-in-laws, or we don't talk to them, because that's an old incest law. That long time ago, so we don't do that. Same way with the fathers, they don't talk to the daughter-in-laws. That's respect.
Thank you for all the things you've been teaching me. I feel like my cup is full. You have filled it for me. I have one final question for you. What does it mean to you to know that you belong to the tribe of Israel?
I come from the tribe of Ephraim, and in my patriarchal blessing, the patriarch is right there in Salt Lake City. I got pictures. I got a patriarchal blessing. I take it with me all the time. And my duty is to serve the people, to know the tribe of Israel, that we're all connected, we're all family. Some of the old ones, way back, I know that. And a lot of people here, they don't see that. See the light that shines above us, the sun, we call them sun dogs. A story goes that when it's so cold, the sun is so cold, he builds a fire around him to keep himself warm. We call the sun dog. That's just like Christ, he keeps us warm. No matter what the temperature is like that. Think of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh. They were the ones that bring the gospel to this country. This is a chosen land. Remember Ephraim, the vine came up out of the well and crossed and up and over the wall. That's how great it is. We have the greatest blessing, more than we could ever comprehend. Ephraim and Manasseh. Lehi, with the children of Lehi, all of us. And we need to put all the differences aside. Stop humiliating one another. Or anyone. Respect them. First our children. In Wakandi, we call the holy ones. We only take care of them. And they go their own way. That's what it means to me. Israel. There's a lot of terms. If you want to see an angel, look at the tabernacle choir. Look at them. There's the angel. Each one of different features, different faces, different countenances, different colors, different cultures. There, those are angels. To me, they are. So, now we'll bear my testimony before I close here. I know that Jesus Christ lives and Joseph Smith is prophet, his church is true. The Book of Mormon is true. I know that these are latter days and great things are going to happen. Great things will come. And Jesus will come. He'll be clothed in red, as he said. Everything he said will be confirmed, and we will see it, all of us. I know the church is true. I love my family, and I love all people that try to do his will. And obedience is better than sacrifice. I leave that with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. In July, as citizens of the United States of America, we celebrate independence. And Brother Shields talked about that and how it feels uncomfortable sometimes for him. But he also didn't mention this, but he told me that he served in the Army. And I think that's really an interesting topic that I haven't really delved into. In fact, my previous guest, Brother Frank, he served in the Navy. And I know from previous things that I've read, that per population, the Native Americans have the highest percentage of military service. And I'm proud of that. I think that's a blessing for our country and for our people. And I'm grateful that we can live in this land that we can choose which church we want to attend. And like the Article of Faith, number 11 says, we claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience, and allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. And I am really grateful for that, because I want to be able to share my testimony of the gospel. I don't want it to have to be a secret. I don't want it to be something that I don't get to share with people. So I'm grateful for it. And I just wanted to share that thought with you today. And I hope you're having a super wonderful, awesome day. Tribe of Testimonies is not sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The music is a traditional hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, arranged and performed by Kyle Forsyth. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear how this podcast is affecting you. And I'm always looking for guests. If you or someone you know would be a great guest, you can reach me at tribeoftestimonies@gmail.com.